There is a very beautiful line in the writings of the Second Vatican Council, in one of the documents written on the Church that is seldom heard, but is so important for our faith. The bishops of the Church composed this line about Our Lady. They said, when Mary is the subject of preaching and worship, she prompts the faithful to come to her Son, to His sacrifice, and to the love of the Father. When Mary is the subject of preaching and worship, she prompts the faithful to come to her Son, to His sacrifice, and to the love of God the Father. Why do we celebrate Our Lady so often throughout the year? Why do I speak of her with such great love? So that she will lead you to Jesus, to the Eucharist, and to God the Father. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Our Lady today, on this feast of Mary, the Mother of God. When did Our Lady become the Mother of God? At what moment? At the moment of the Annunciation, when the Archangel Gabriel came down from heaven, she conceived our Lord in her womb. And how do we know that she was a mother even from that moment? Because a short few days later, as she went in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth, what are the words with which Elizabeth greets her? She says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" A woman becomes a mother in the moment she conceives, because God imparts an eternal soul into that child. And so that's why all of you moms who have ever lost a child through a miscarriage, or even through an abortion, that child will live forever. We believe with great confidence that you will see those children again in heaven. And that even though you have lost them in this life, they can still see you. They can still hear you. They pray for you. And they long for you to be reunited with them. They have an identity from the moment they were conceived. You really are their mothers and their fathers. So Our Lady became a mother the moment of her conception. When did Our Lady conceive all of us? In the same moment. Because in that moment, Our Lady conceived the Church. We are members of the body of Christ. And when did the body of Christ begin to exist? In that moment, the Church was conceived in the womb of Mary. There's this beautiful phrase that Pope Pius XII has in one of his encyclical letters. He says, from the moment of our Lord's conception, all throughout his time in the womb, he knew and he loved all those whom he would one day redeem. They were present to him even in the womb. And so what that means is that all of those whom our Lord would redeem, all of us were in Our Lady in some sense from the time of our Lord's conception. Okay, let's take this a step further. You're all still with me, right? What day do we celebrate the Annunciation on? The 25th of March. What feast do we celebrate 9 months later? The feast of Christmas. Right, the Church does nothing by chance. 9 months after the conception, we celebrate the birth of our Lord. And Our Lady laid Him in a manger, and the angels worshipped Him, and the shepherds came to adore Him. Our Lord was born in time. My brothers and sisters, when was the Church born? In a sense, when were we all born anew? As Our Lady stood at the foot of Calvary, she gave birth with her Son to the Church. In a sense, we were all reborn in that moment. Why is it only then that our Lord, looking down from the cross, says to John, "Behold your mother"? Because in that moment, she really became His mother. And we're going to get there in just a second. Okay, what is the difference for Our Lady with the birth of her Son and the birth of His body, the Church? One of the biggest differences is that one birth was totally painless, and one consisted of the greatest pain ever known to any human being, other than the pain of her Son on the cross. Just recently I've been reading the work of our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, and he writes about the infancy narratives. And he says, when Our Lady and Joseph went and they made the sacrifice of two turtle doves or two pigeons, he says, why did they make that sacrifice? And I thought to myself, well, gosh, when a mother, a Jewish woman, conceives and gives birth to a firstborn son, they're supposed to redeem that son, whether it be a human child or from one of their animals. All of the firstborn sons were to be redeemed. And I've always understood that. And he says, no, the redemption of the son, it was the offering of 5 shekels. That was a separate sacrifice. The reason Our Lady and Joseph offered 2 turtle doves were for the purification of Our Lady. And he says, but there's a great mystery here. Because a woman, when she would give birth, for the Jewish people, they believed because of the loss of blood that took place in the delivery of a child, a woman became impure. And especially with the birth of a son, she was impure for 7 days until the circumcision of her son on the 8th day. But even after that, a woman would remain home for 33 more days with the Jewish understanding that her blood flow would cycle anew through her body. And only on the 40th day would they go and offer this sacrifice for the purification of the mother. Pope Benedict says, but Our Lady had no need to be purified because she lost no blood in the birth of her son. Because that birth was a miraculous birth. We believe that Our Lady remained a virgin even in giving birth to her son. This is what the Catechism says about our Lord's birth. Christ's birth did not diminish the virginity of his mother, but sanctified it. When Adam and Eve fell, what was the curse for the woman? That she would have pains in her labor. Our Lady did not inherit the original sin. She is the new Eve. She would have had no labor pains. When she's standing on the foot of the cross, why did she suffer so intensely? Because as her son was redeeming the world, she united herself to her sacrifice to become the mother of all those whom he would redeem. Her sufferings at the foot of the cross were for all of us. They were her labor pains for us, so that we could be born anew. In that moment, she became not our natural mother, but our supernatural mother. I do not know a single mom worthy of the title who would not give her life in exchange for the life of one of her children. How much more Our Lady, the perfect mom, who loved with the most tremendous love, how much more did she give herself with her son at the foot of the cross so that we could live not in this life, but in the life to come? Our Lady one time said in a private revelation, if my children knew how much I loved them, they would weep for joy. Let us ask an exceptional grace of our Lord today. Let us ask him that we might come to know how much his mom loves us. Because the more we come to know that love, the more we will give ourselves to her son. And I know that every single one of you have probably experienced this. The more your relationship grows with Our Lady, the more deeply you are united to her son. And let's ask Jesus for another grace, that we might love her in return, so that she can lead us to him, to his sacrifice, and to the love of the Father.